Sometimes night has a way of speaking to us, but we almost never listen. The night after we ate the bird was too dark. There were no stars in the sky, and as we walked, it seemed as if the darkness was getting thicker. We weren't on a dense forest path, but we could barely see each other. We held onto one another's hands. We kept on walking because we couldn't stop in the middle of nowhere, even though we wanted to. After hours of walking, we came upon a bridge made of sticks. The river below was flowing quietly as if asleep. As we were about to set foot on the bridge, we heard footsteps on the other side coming toward us. We let go of one another's hand and hid in the nearby bushes. I was lying with Alhaji, Juma, and Saidu. There were three people. They were wearing white shirts. Two of them were about the same height and the third was shorter. They carried cloth under their arms. They too were holding hands, and when they stepped off the bridge, around where we lay, they stopped as if they sensed our presence. They mumbled something. It was difficult to hear what they were saying because their voices sounded like bees, as if something was obstructing their noses. After they were done mumbling, the two taller people began pulling the shorter one. One wanted them to go the way we were going, and the other insisted that they continue in the opposite direction. Their quarrel caused my heart to begin beating faster, and I was trying hard to make out their faces, but it was too dark. After about a minute, they decided to continue going in the direction we had come from. It took us a few minutes to rise from under the bushes. Everyone was breathing hard and couldn't speak. Kene began whispering our names. When he called out Saidu's name, Saidu didn't answer. We searched for him among the bushes. He was lying there quietly. We shook him hard, calling out his name, but he was silent. Alhaji and Juma began to cry. Kene and I dragged Saidu onto the path and sat by him. He was just lying there. My hands began trembling uncontrollably as we sat there throughout the night in silence. My head became heavy as I thought about what we were going to do. I do not remember who it was among us that whispered. Maybe it was the bird that we ate. Most of my travel companions began to cry, but I couldn't. I just sat there, staring into the night as if searching for something. There wasn't a gradual change between night and day. The darkness just swiftly rolled away, letting the sky shine its light on us. We were all sitting in the middle of the path. Saidu was still quiet. His forehead had residues of sweat, and his mouth was slightly open. I put my hand by his nose just to see if he was breathing. Everyone stood up, and when I removed my hand, they were all looking at me, as if expecting me to say something. "I don't know," I said. They all put their hands on their heads. Their faces looked as if they wanted to hear something else, something that we knew could be possible but were afraid to accept. "What are we going to do now?" Moriba asked. "We cannot just stand here forever," Musa remarked. "We will have to carry him to the next village, however far that might be," Kene said slowly. "Help me stand him up," he continued. We stood Saidu up, and Kene carried him on his back across the bridge. The quiet river started flowing loudly through the rocks and palm canals. As soon as we had crossed the bridge, Saidu coughed. Kene set him down, and we all gathered around him. He vomited for a few minutes, and wiping his mouth, he said, "Those were ghosts last night, I know it." We all agreed with him. I must have fainted after they started speaking. He tried to get up, and we all aided him. "I am fine, let's go," he pushed us away. "You woke up from the dead with some attitude," Musa said. We all laughed and started walking. My hands began trembling again. I didn't know why this time. It was a gloomy day, and we kept asking Saidu if he was okay all the way to the next village.